Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. So we're going to continue going through the book of 1 Samuel. This week, we're going to be talking about King Saul, and we're going to be talking about his incomplete obedience and how he chose not to obey the commands that was given to him from Yahweh, and instead chose to do what was right in his eyes and thought that what he wanted to do was better than the instructions that was given to him from God. Okay, so let's go ahead and get to our first verse here. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 15, and we're going to start with verse 1. It says, "And Samuel said to Saul, Yahweh sent me to anoint you king over his people Israel. Now therefore listen to the words of Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, I have noted what Amalek did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came out of Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." So we're going to pause here for a moment. So we see here in verse 2 what the sin was of Amalek. And that was the fact that they opposed Israel. They chose not to help Israel when Israel came out of Egypt and they were on their way to the promised land, and instead they resisted against Israel and opposed them. So because of that, Yahweh is taking vengeance upon Amalek. Remember, the Bible tells us that vengeance is his. So that's one of the hardest things to really put in practice as believers, is when someone does us wrong, for us to still love our enemies, to bless those who persecute us, who do us wrong, who oppose us, who attack us. He says and tells us to bless them and to love them. And in doing so, we're heaping burning coals upon their head, because vengeance is his. When the time is right, he gives time for people to repent of their sin and to turn from what they have done. But we see here, in the case of Amalek, time had come for them to reap what they had sowed. And that was that Yahweh wanted them wiped off the earth. He wanted them totally destroyed. All men, women, children, even infants, and all their cattle. Nothing was to remain of that which belonged to the people of Amalek. Okay, so that was the instruction, and that was the reason why it was given, is because of their wickedness. Remember, the wages of sin is death, okay? But to those who believe in Yeshua is eternal life, and our belief should produce obedience in our lives. Now let's look down at verse 7. "And Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and devoted to destruction all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatted calves and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. All that was despised and worthless they devoted to destruction." So here we see in this passage, what was instructed unto Saul was to destroy everything, not just that which was despised or worthless. They were to destroy even the best of the calves and the lambs. But Saul chose to keep alive the best of the cattle, of the sheep, of the oxen, of the lambs. He chose to not follow through with the complete instructions given to him from Yahweh. he was obedient in the fact that he did go, he did fight against the Amalekites. Yahweh was with him as he said he would be. If he instructs you to do something, he is going to be there with you and is going to help you accomplish the task he has assigned to you. So Saul is obedient and going to war against the Amalekites, and they defeat the Amalekites. But he does not have the complete obedience in the fact that he chooses to spare Agag and the best of their flocks. Okay? So when we think about that in our lives, is there anything in our lives we have incomplete obedience? Where when he tells us to do something, maybe we do it halfway. That's what Saul did here. He had halfway obedience. He chose to do one thing, but thought it would be better to do something else than what Yahweh had instructed him to do. Choosing to do what was right in his eyes, not listening to what God told him to do. Sometimes the question we could ask ourselves when we act as Saul acts here in this scripture, are we saying that we are smarter than God? Because in God's wisdom and what he knew was going on, he set instructions and a purpose out to be carried out because he knew what needed to be done. But Saul chooses to think that he knows better. And that's the question. Is there times, if we honestly stop and think, we may not say we know better than him, but are there things that we do that would say that we know better than him? Okay. So let's look at verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed be you to Yahweh, I have performed the commandment of Yahweh." And Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear?" Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to Yahweh your God, and the rest we have devoted to destruction." First thing here, so Samuel comes unto Saul, and Saul's response is to bless Samuel, and he says, "I have performed the commandment of Yahweh." So Saul thinks that he has obeyed and done that which God wanted him to do. He's like, "I defeated the Amalekites. I have completed the commandment." But in essence, he had not completed the commandment because he did not follow the commandment completely to the T that God had commanded him to do. Instead, he chose to keep the oxen. So that's what Samuel's response is. If you have kept the commandment of Yahweh, then why do I hear this cattle in the background? Why am I hearing the sheep? Why do I hear the oxen? What am I hearing if you have obeyed his command? So Samuel knows better. Samuel knows that Saul has not walked in obedience, but instead has chosen to do that which was right in his eyes. Okay. Saul's response is what? "We have kept them to sacrifice to Yahweh." So his defense is, "Look, I know you said to destroy them all, but we have kept these and we're going to sacrifice them to Yahweh." I mean, does not Yahweh want a sacrifice? Does not God love to have a sacrifice? Isn't that not what he desires to have from us? Because in actuality, is that not what the Torah told him to do, right? To bring a sacrifice unto him. Now, we do not bring animal sacrifices anymore. Scripture says that the bulls of our lips, the praises of our lips are like the sacrifice of the bulls. So when we praise him with our lips. It is that sweet incense, just as they would sacrifice that animal on the altar. It would rise up into heaven, and it would be a sweet-smelling aroma unto him. Well, when we praise him with our lips, it is a sweet-smelling aroma unto him. It is a sacrifice unto him. So the question is, what did God desire? Did he want Saul's obedience, or did he want the sacrifice? What does he want more? It's not necessarily a choosing between the two, but is there one that he desires over the other? In fact, why was a sacrifice even put in place in the first place? The sacrifice was put into place to cover the sin of those who have sinned, to those who have missed the mark, to those who did not obey. There was a sacrifice system put into place to cover over their wickedness, their uncleanness. So the first desire was for them to walk in obedience. But if they did not walk in obedience, then there's a sacrifice put in place for forgiveness, for them to receive mercy and favor from God. But the first desire was for obedience. The same pertains to us today. What does he desire from us? Does he desire the praises of our lips, or does he desire our obedience? What did Yeshua say? If you love me, keep my commandments. He doesn't say, if you love me, then praise me with your lips. His desire is for our obedience. Our obedience is what shows him that we fear him and we love him and we honor him. That's how we worship him. The book of Romans talks about us being a living sacrifice. So we give him the sacrifice of our lips, the bulls of our lips, the praises of our lips. But he also desires a living sacrifice. And that living sacrifice is that one who is living and walking in obedience to his law, to his Torah, the instructions he has given us to do, to love him and to love people. And the Torah simply teaches us how we love him and how we love people. Instead of us trying to define how to love him and how to love people on our own. And so we don't fall into the trap of Saul, where we try to love people and what is convenient for us and how we think we should love people and how we want to love people. Because our flesh is at war against his law. Our flesh does not want to subject itself to his law. Our flesh is going to want to do it its own way. It's going to want to be like Saul. It's going to want to have an incomplete obedience, to do it halfway. I will listen to your commandment. I'll do this, but I'm not going to do that one because I think this way is better. Let's look at verse 16. Then Samuel said to Saul, stop. I will tell you what Yahweh said to me this night. And he said to him, speak. And Samuel said, though you are little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribes of Israel? Yahweh anointed you king over Israel. In other words, Saul, you are the one who is responsible for what happens in Israel. You are the one who's going to be held accountable for the actions of this people. He anointed you to be king over Israel. He anointed you to lead this people in his righteousness. He anointed you to lead them in the commands and the instructions that God has given you. He has told you to destroy the Amalekites, but you, as the king, chose not to do it. We're going to see here later that Saul feared the people instead of God. So is there a thing where the people wanted to spare the animals? They wanted to bring a sacrifice, and so Saul chose to do that instead, because that's what the people wanted. But you were made king. You knew what needed to happen, and you did not make sure it happened. Remember, we talked in last week's teaching about how Eli was held accountable for not restraining the wickedness of his sons. Now let's look at verse 18. And Yahweh sent you on a mission and said, go, devout to destruction, the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. There was a purpose and a reason to why they were to be consumed. God was bringing his judgment on the Amalekites, and Saul chose not to execute the judgment that God wanted to execute on the Amalekites. Verse 19. Why then did you not obey the voice of Yahweh? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of Yahweh? And Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of Yahweh. I have gone on the mission on which Yahweh sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalekite, and I have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to Yahweh your God in Gilgal. So here we see in verse 21, Saul is placing the blame on the people. The people took of the spoil. But what did Saul tell him previously? You were appointed king. Saul, you're king. You can tell the people, no, we're not taking of the spoil. We're going to destroy all of it. We're going to consume all of it. We're not keeping them to sacrifice to God. But Saul chose not to stand as a king and resist the will of the people in order to do the will of God. Instead, he caved in to the will of the people and he rejected God's command. He feared the people more than he feared God. So he chose to do that was right for the people. He chose to disregard God's command in order to be accepted by the people. See, when we try to fit in with the world, when we try to conform to the world, we are going to reject God. We are going to be put in a spot where we have to reject his commands, where we reject the instructions he has given us and his righteousness, because the world is at war with God. So anytime we seek to be pleased, anytime we seek to be people pleasers, we're putting ourselves in the spot to be at war or an enemy of God. Let's look at verse 22. And Samuel said, has Yahweh as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is a sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, he has also rejected you from being king. So Samuel's response to Saul about the people keeping the animals for the burnt offering is to ask him the question, has Yahweh have great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Or what does he say? Would he rather you bring a sacrifice, or would he rather you obey his voice? He tells them, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. What he wants is your obedience. He desires for you to be obedient more than for you to keep those rams and those bulls in order to bring a sacrifice. And the same is for us. He would rather have our obedience than us sing of his praise. Now, he desires and wants us to sing of his praise, but he wants our obedience more. So if we're singing of his praise, but we're walking in disobedience, then are we really satisfying him? Are we really pleasing him? Is that what he desires? His only desire is not for the song. His desire is for our obedience. And he desires our obedience more than he desires the song. He wants both, but he wants our obedience more than he wants the song. So don't sacrifice your obedience to bring a song. And that's what Saul did. He sacrificed obedience to bring the sacrifice. And don't fall into the trap where you can think that because I bring a song, I now don't have to walk in obedience because I have a song to sing to him. I have a sacrifice to bring to him. I have the blood of Yeshua to bring to him. So I don't need to walk in obedience. I can do whatever I want. Because what does he say in verse 23? For rebellion or disobedience, rejecting my commands, rejecting my law, rejecting what I have told you to do is as a sin of divination or as a sin of witchcraft. And we know that those who do witchcraft will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay. Presumption or outright wickedness. Those who choose to walk in that which is wrong. That's what presumption is. It's willful disobedience. It is as idolatry. And the New Testament tells us as well, the idolaters will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we have to be careful of walking in rebellion and presumption and walking in outright disobedience to his word. And Samuel tells Saul, because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, he has rejected you as king. Those who reject him, those who reject his word, who reject his ways, he will reject in the end. He honors those who honors him. Those who despise him will be lightly esteemed. How do we honor him? Through obedience. Now let's look at verse 24. Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of Yahweh and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. So here we see Saul admits to the fact that he feared the people. He feared the people more than he feared God. If he had feared God more than the people, he would have obeyed God and not the people. But because he feared the people more than he feared God, he obeyed their voice. Do you want to know who you fear? Who are you listening to? Let's look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Messiah. Here, Paul lays it out very clearly. He asked the question, am I seeking approval of man or of God? He says, if I'm trying to please man, then I would not be a servant of Messiah. Meaning, I cannot please man and serve Yeshua. It's impossible. It can't be done. So if I'm trying to please man, if I'm trying to fit in with the world, if I'm trying to be like them, to be accepted by them, then I am no longer a servant of Messiah. I'm no longer serving him. A servant of Messiah is not one who says they believe in Yeshua. That is not what it means to be a servant of Yeshua. To be a servant of Yeshua means that he is your master. So yes, you believe in Yeshua as the Son of God, that he died upon that cross for our sins, and that by his blood there is forgiveness of sins. Yes, it starts with that. But a servant of Messiah sees Yeshua as their master, which means they approach him as a servant, willing to do the will of the master. If we're trying to serve him and him be our master, and we're humbly submitting ourselves to him to do his will, we will not be trying to please man, but in fact, we will be at war with the people of this world. Let's look at James chapter 4 and verse 4. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. If you're seeking conformity to the world, you're at war against the will and the purposes of God. His will and his purpose for you ultimately is for you to be transformed into the image of Yeshua, for you to be conformed unto Yeshua, not unto the world. That's why it puts us at war with him. That's why we can't be a servant of him, because we are to be conformed unto the image of Yeshua, not the world. And those are two different images. We cannot be conformed into the image of Yeshua while also trying to be conformed into the image of the world. It's impossible. It's two totally different images that we're trying to be conformed into. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 30, and let's see the response of Saul when he is called out for his sin. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me, that I may bow before Yahweh your God. So upon Saul being told that you have sinned against Yahweh, your kingdom is going to be ripped out of your hands and is going to be given to someone who has a heart to serve me, who has a heart after me. Saul's response is, come back with me and basically act like nothing has happened. I don't want the people to see that I have had the kingdom ripped out of my hands. Honor me in front of the people. I'm okay that after me, my son will not be king. I'm okay with that. Just honor me before the people today. Don't let them know that you have ripped the kingdom from my hands. Let's look at John chapter 12 and verse 42. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him, but for the fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. So we see here, even at this time, at the time of Yeshua, there were those who struggled as Saul, who longed for the approval of the people and the praise of the people more than what the will of God was. And it talks about there were those even of authority and in high-ranking positions who believed in Yeshua, but yet they would not confess their belief in Yeshua for the fear of the Pharisees and that they would be put out. They did not want to be rejected by the Pharisees, so instead they rejected Yeshua. They believed him, but they didn't confess him. Remember, we have to confess him. If we don't confess him before men, then he will not confess us before his Father. Okay? So they rejected him in order to be accepted by the Pharisees. Do we reject him to be accepted by people? Do we reject some of his ways in order to be accepted by people? Do we love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God? Saul did. Because even when he was told the kingdom was going to be ripped from his hands, he was still concerned about the glory that would come from the people more than the glory that would come from God. Well, hallelujah. I hope this message has blessed you. We will be back again with another teaching. We will be back next week. So come back now and shalom, y'all.